Well, good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line Cal Grunwald. And Cal supports our program, and certainly we've talked to him off and on for a number of months now. And we usually talk about what is going on in the world financially. Now, really, if you see what's happening, you notice what's happening to gold and silver. Not much is happening. In fact, the dollar has been up in the last few months. The euro has been falling. And so, really, that makes our currency look stronger. But why is our currency stronger? That really doesn't make any sense. We still have the massive trade deficits that Paul Volcker has written about. And as Paul Volcker said in his April 10th article in the Washington Post, if you have not read it, I suggest that you go to your internet, the Google site, and type in Paul Volcker, Washington Post, April 10th. And he tells us that we're skating on very thin ice. Things look pretty good, but there's no instance in all history where a nation has spent 10% more than it, or 6% more than it's producing over a period of time, and sooner or later the other central banks, the other countries, are going to tire of the use of dollars, and then, as he said, I don't know whether it'll be with a bang or with a whimper, whether it'll be sooner or later. But there is going to be a reaction, and I fear it'll be a financial crisis. And then he went on to say there are things that could be done to stop the situation, to correct the situation. However, what should be done is usually put off until later, and then it's too late. So, and with that as a background, Cal, what's your take on what's going on today? Things seem to be fairly stable right at the present time.
Well, at least that's what government and the media wants us to believe. And, of course, as we get further and further on toward the end of days here, the deception and the illusions become greater, and it's just about impossible to figure out by reading the media or listening to it or watching it what's going on. The deceit is so immense.
And they really are sort of masters of deceit. It's a way that they can twist the things around. And the more you read, the more confused you get. And one article says General Motors has about $20 billion in cash. And the next article says they have $56 billion in cash. And you don't really know who's telling the truth or what's really going on, other than it would appear that General Motors is having some very, very serious problems. And many of our major industrialists are having serious problems. We look and we find that many of our corporations are making money, but why are they making money? Why? Because they're producing over in communist China. They're producing the goods over there. They can bring them back into this country and make a tremendous profit, but these are not products that are being made here for the large part in the United States. Our most aggressive industries in the United States today are the housing industry, which is built upon a bubble, and the defense industry, which is built upon creating weapons to kill people with. And that these are our two major industries in the United States today. And at the one time we were one of the major agricultural exporters in the world. Today we are importing more in the way of agricultural goods than we are exporting. And contrary to what most people will read in the newspaper, I think that we truly are skating on thin ice. We'll be back in just a moment here with Cal Grunwald, and invite your calls at Radio Liberty. Well, Cal, why don't you just pick up the story from there? Tell us what you think about the economy, just the general things that are happening, and should people be concerned, or is it perhaps the things are really far better than we are led to believe?
Well, again, Dr. Stan, the, as you said in your introduction, the illusion is king, and that's what's happening right now. The of course, the government is making an all-out effort to deceive the people into believing that things are better and there's a turnaround and everything else. But while there's a complete censorship on news coming from overseas, getting into this country, they know what's going on. They know that the rest of the world has rejected our dollar and rejecting our dollar. Even though the dollar supposedly is stronger, we don't know if that's true or not. See, the whole thing is this mass deception that's going on in the media. If you're tuned in at all, of course, we're tuned into what's really going on a little bit anyway, but the majority of the people, 98% of the people in this country, are tuned into what the government wants them to hear, and the psychology and the deception is getting worse and worse. There's no way to figure it out anymore. So as I talk to people across the country, they're telling me the truth about what's happening. The economy is horrible. People are losing jobs and jobs and jobs. Unemployment's running out. The dollar's falling. That's the truth about what's happening. People are very, very concerned, but as you said, they're very, very confused also. Because on the one hand, they hear one thing from the major media. On the other hand, they see with their eyes what's really going on around them. They don't really know what to believe.
Well, I think it's very interesting that they've actually been able, after the dollar had fallen almost to 80 in relationship to the euro, which was about $1.30, why suddenly the dollar's come back up again. But I think that this is all simply an example of manipulation. And I think what people have to understand is that the central banks of the world work together in concert, and right now they're holding up the American economy. But how long will they do that? And, of course, what impact will what happened in Europe this last weekend have on that? And let me tell you, one of the most momentous events occurred in Europe, and that was when the French people rejected the European Union. The major driving force behind literally everything going on in the world today is the drive towards the establishment of the one world government. And, of course, this really is based upon uniting Europe, uniting the Western Hemisphere, and uniting Asia. And, of course, the European Union is the vehicle they're going to use to unite Europe. And when the French rejected that treaty, and if the Dutch should do the same thing, and if the English should do the same thing, why, the people who would betray the world and bring everything under their control are in real trouble. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do in reprisal. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Cal Grunwald, and we were just talking about the significance, the importance, the earth-shaking event that took place this weekend when the French people rejected the European Union, the European concept, the European Constitution. The French people said they didn't want to give up their sovereignty. And, of course, I believe that the international financiers are going to punish the people of France. We saw this here and happened in the United States in 1811 when the Congress repudiated the charter of the First Bank of the United States. It wouldn't renew it. A year later, we were in a war. And 4 years later, 5 years later, with economic chaos in every aspect of the United States because of the manipulation of the banking system, why in 1816 they chartered the Second Bank of the United States. When Andrew Jackson refused to renew the charter of the Second Bank of the United States in 1832, Nicholas Biddle, who controlled the central bank, actually began to call in loans. People lost their families, the farms, they lost their homes, they lost their industries. This was how they punished the American people, because the president didn't want to renew the charter of the Second Bank of the United States. Now, they've pulled these games and played these games over and over again. I wonder what they're going to do to retaliate against the people of France, to retaliate against the people of the Netherlands for daring not to ratify this European Union charter and refusing to ratify the acceptance of the European Constitution, because that has been the age-old plan of the people who control the wealth of the world to create this world government. So, and I think that we may be sitting on the edge of something. I really believe that there will be retaliation against the people to teach them that they better go along with the will of their masters if they think they're going to be able to change things democratically. They're incredibly naive. Well, you know, I think that that is something, and they could certainly precipitate a economic crisis in Europe, and of course would have tremendous repercussions here in the United States. Well, how do you explain what's happening with the gold and silver markets, Cal? Because nothing is happening. They've just been sitting there almost like they were dead for the better part of nine months or so.
Well, it's a very interesting question. I was thinking about that quite a bit this afternoon when I found out that gold finished at $416 an ounce and silver finished at $7.43 an ounce. Well, it's interesting because, just to go back a little bit, gold used to be a barometer of the stock market. When the market was up, gold was down, vice versa. But in 1980, we got a double-digit inflation, double-digit interest rates. Gold started climbing because, you know, people were starting to look for financial security, and they started buying gold. Well, gold, you know, got up to $850 an ounce in just a four-month period of time. Silver got over $53. Of course, the Hunt brothers were involved too, kind of cornered that market. But, and of course, then after things got a little bit under control, gold and silver came down again. But big bankers, you know, they got rather concerned and scared because they saw the power of the masses. When the masses move towards something, you know, they can't really stop it. So what they determined to do at that point was to manipulate gold, especially very, very heavily. So that it appears to be exactly the opposite of what it really is. So now, as the more severe, the kind of the formula, this is what I've kind of made up as a formula, but the more severe the economic situation is that we are in and right in front of us, the more they suppress gold and control it and keep it down. Because, again, it's all psychology, it's all deceit, but it's a game that they play with the masses, and they're always smarter than the masses. So now what's happened is, you know, as you know, they make it appear in the media. Of course, as you know, they do this with the CPI index, you know, the consumer price index, and there's so much inflation, 3 and 4%, and that's a farce. You know, it's actually 9 to 12% or even more. Prices of everything are going up, and they're telling us there's no inflation. So they're controlling all these numbers. They control what they say in the media, and it's all with one intent: to keep the common people in their place. You know, keep them watching TV and listening to the radio, they're content. So what they're doing now with gold and silver, especially gold, what I see is that they're allowing silver to respond to supply and demand, because silver about 3 or 4 weeks ago was $690. Now it's $743. That's a rather dramatic increase. Silver is responding to supply and demand, you know, on the most part. And it's going up. Gold, on the other hand, is not. It's going down. And again, I've been watching gold very, very closely for 8 years, and this, you can see a pattern. And it's, the pattern is, the more severe the economic situation that we're facing right now and in the very, very near future, the more they're going to keep gold down, because it's all psychology. Gold's starting to climb, people start buying it. And I can tell you that the availability of gold and silver right now is really sparse.
Well, of course, one of the things that with the dollar having really gone up somewhat in relationship to the euro, why then of course you would expect the dollar to go down, because you know, it's the dollar is stronger, and whenever the dollar goes up, why the gold falls. When the dollar goes down, why gold tends to rise more. So right now, of course, the dollar has actually moved up in relationship to the other currencies of the world, but it's all manipulated. In fact, one reason, of course, they've kept the price of gold down is because they realize that if people had their druthers, if they had, you know, what they really want, they would want something that was of inherent value to trade with. But, you know, if gold doesn't go up, it does not respond to market demands, then what are people going to have as a medium of exchange? Why, they have to use the paper money, or the illusion of paper money and the value of paper money that has been created in our minds. The tragedy is that most Americans have never studied history. As somebody once said, the one thing we learn from history is that we never learn anything from history. But if you study other countries, what's happened in other countries with paper currencies, why they have simply been wiped out. Today in Rhodesia, for instance, the Rhodesian dollar, which back in the old, I think when I was in South Africa, the Rhodesian dollar was a couple of American dollars to the Rhodesian dollar. On the black market today, why one American dollar will buy you 25,000 Rhodesian dollars. So what they've done is essentially impoverish anybody in Rhodesia who stayed in currency, and the only people who survived were those who had tangible things, and they're really not surviving very well there, because the media in the United States is not telling you that of this nation of 12 million people, 5 million have already fled for their lives. There's famine, there's no gasoline, there's no electricity many times, there are no medical supplies, there is almost no food, people are fighting for the food in the stores, and basically it's a totally chaotic situation with a currency that has essentially become worthless. And yet, you know, just 30 years ago, this was a very much sought after currency. Could such things happen in the United States? Of course it could. I mean, there is no instance in all history where a nation has gone into a fiat money system and has survived indefinitely. Right now, of course, we have the reserve currency for the world, and all the other countries are keeping much of their savings in American dollars. But that's what Paul Volcker was talking about when he talked about the fact we're skating on thin ice, and that sooner or later, the other countries of the world and their central banks are going to begin to reject dollars. And I suggest, if you have not yet read that article by Paul Volcker, again, go to Google on the internet, type in Paul Volcker, Washington Post, April 10th, 2005. Fascinating article. I think everybody should read it. And I agree with you, of course. Cal, everything is manipulated, and we are in very, very uncertain times, but the average individual out there has no real glimpse of that, and he's being lied to by MSNBC. He's being lied to by all of the television programs, because all of our major media is controlled by five mega corporations, and that would be Disney, Bertelsmann, Disney, Murdoch, Viacom, Times Warner. So five mega corporations control the American media and ultimately determine what the American people hear, what they see, what they read, and ultimately what they believe. And the only people I think are going to survive the coming times are those who are able to think for themselves independently of what they're being told by the controlled media. And tragically, time and again, why the government lies to the people. As the government of Argentina lied to the people there just 3 years ago, and they said, you never have to worry. The government would never betray you. The peso would be tied to the American dollar, and there will no longer be inflation in Argentina. We will have stability, and the thing worked for pretty well for some time, until, of course, the government was spending so much more money than it was taking in, and eventually, literally overnight, they closed the banks and impoverished half the population. And there's still, of course, half the people now, the middle class, are living below the poverty line in Argentina simply because of the currency collapse. And, you know, the thing is, the American people have to understand, when Paul Volcker begins warning us that there's going to be real problems, I think we should heed them. Don't you, Cal?
Well, that's true. And, of course, Greenspan has been dropping hints for a long time, too. If people are paying attention to these men who know better, you know, there is some warning. Another very, very important thing is that if you look at gold production worldwide. In 1931, right now, today, is the lowest worldwide gold production since 1931.
Very well. I know very well that in Africa they're having real problems. They're closing down a lot of the mines there simply because their South African rand is fairly strong, and they simply can't make anything with gold at the current price of $4.16. We're going to be back in just a moment. When we return, we welcome your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Cal Grunwald. We're talking about what's really going on in the world. Cal, what's happening as far as the gold consumption in China, gold consumption in India, where these the economies are literally exploding, and for the first time in already 50 years or more, why the people there really have money to spend, and of course some of them are buying gold and silver, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. I mean, these are... Well, these countries have their problems, but the media is not censored to any great extent like it is over here. And so people, especially China, India, Indonesia, the Oriental countries, they know the value of gold. And, of course, back in March 2001, the Japanese started the gold run because the bank said that they're no longer going to have an unlimited guarantee on deposits, so they reduced it to $75,000 per account.
Was that in Japan?
That was in Japan.
Right.
And so, with the Japanese, they know what real money is. It's gold. And they said, that's it. We're not going to, put our confidence in the yen anymore as far as the electronic or the paper yen. So they cashed out. Most of their life savings went down to the gold dealer and started buying, coming home with 20, 30, 40 pounds of gold. And that's what started the gold run. And it was at 280 an ounce and went up to 330 in just 3 or 4 months. Just because of the Japanese. And of course it's been, increasing ever since, up and down. But these are the people that know what's going on. The American public are the only country that's so deceived and so mind controlled. They don't know what real money is. They think it's paper and, electronic money, Wall Street. And this is what they've been duped into believing.
Well, I think it's so interesting that the Chinese people, haven't been able to own gold for 50 years. And now that the Chinese government is allowing them to purchase gold, the Chinese people, who are really very clever, very industrious, and very smart people, as a nation, anybody who can is buying gold because they know it has intrinsic values. It has had for 5,000 years. And how you've been able to convince the American people that that paper money has any inherent value. I mean, you certainly, if you have a stable currency, when you have the central bank that is operating as it should, why, you don't have any problems. But that is no longer the case. We're spending more than we're making. The only reason, of course, we're not having catastrophic problems here is because we're exporting our inflation and the other countries are absorbing our dollars. But my understanding is that within the last couple of months, both China and Japan have begun getting rid of some of their dollars, and we know that Finland got rid of almost half of their currency reserves in dollars here the past month or so. So what do you hear? China and Japan continuing to buy our currency, or are they beginning to try to get out of it so that if it does continue, if it continues back down, that they certainly will not be holding a worthless currency?
Well, again, Dr. Stan, there's a mass exodus around the world of the dollar right now. And you'll hear a particle here and a particle there, just like you were saying about Finland. But the 90% of the truth we never do hear. And it's far, far worse than people can understand. That's when we're just kind of setting ourselves up, or the government setting us up for, a sudden, complete collapse of the dollar. It might not happen for another year or two, but all of a sudden it'll be sudden and there'll be no warning. People, those of us who understand and can see some of these things, we see the warning signs. We can feel the tremors when most people can't.
Hold on. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest here is Cal Grunwald, and we're talking about what's happening in the currency markets. Our producer has mentioned that some of the Europeans are, or at least the central banks, are buying U.S. bonds, which really doesn't make sense, except perhaps if they feel that we're going to have some adjustment as far as the interest rates here in the United States. But I would anticipate that, if they were buying bonds, they would be buying them, expecting they're going to go down. Because certainly, as the interest rates continue rising, ordinarily the bonds fall. At least that's what you would expect, but nothing is happening as you might expect it to. And so I think if our listeners out there understand that everything is manipulated, that the free market no longer really has supply and demand, but if you understand what the people with wealth are doing, why, you better do exactly what they're doing. We know that many of them are like, of course, Bill Gates and George Soros and Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in monetary increments that are tied to the American dollar. Have you heard anything at all about some of the foreigners buying American bonds?
I really haven't. Again, it sounds to me like a story just to try to prop up the dollar. Again, it's just more, I see it as more manipulation, more fiction, more psychology, more lies, just to confuse people.
Well, of course, one of the things that people are pointing out is that everybody would expect that the long-term interest rates would of course, rise, you know, because, of course, the short-term interest rates are rising. Instead of that, the long-term interest rates are falling, and the T-bills that these people are buying are actually rising, so they're coming out like and making out very, very well. And but, you know, how can you have short-term interest rising and long-term interest falling? That doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it certainly doesn't. You know, in the midst of all this, you know, people need to say, what am I doing to, you know, secure my family's you know, future and their wealth, you know, the wealth that you've accumulated already. I was talking to a man the other day. He's got, you know, $7 million in the stock market, and he's just scratching his head saying, what do I do? You know, people don't know where to go. They're so confused, and all these different signs that the people see. The media says one thing, and they hear and see another thing, and they don't know what to do. I'm just very, very, you know, kind of strong with people. You've got to do something to preserve what you've already made before the dollar collapses suddenly, or they shut the bank doors like they did in Argentina. That's why, you know, in my package of information, I'm offering this emergency banking order, which is a 3-page document which allows the banks to close the doors anytime they want. All the government has to say is, you know, do it, and now they'll shut them.
Why don't you go ahead and give your telephone number, and then we'll go to Ed, who's calling from Coeur d'Alene.
Okay, my phone number is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267, and I've got a 26-page paper entitled Gold and How to Avoid the Scams in the Coin Industry. I'll send free, no charge, and then also that emergency banking order and some articles on the Fort Knox Gold that aren't there, and then some very interesting articles out of the 1933 New York Times and Roosevelt Confiscated Gold. So that I'd be glad to send if anybody wants to call me.
And I think that's really very important. You have to understand what's happened in the past to be able to anticipate what's going to happen now. Well, we've got Ed calling from Coeur d'Alene. Hi, Ed, do you have a question or comment?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Yes, I have a question. One good thing that I can say about the French is that they voted the European Constitution out, which has provided a setback to the Bilderbergers. So that is a good thing that they did. And the euro is down today because of it. So what's the speculation how is that going to affect the dollar and the euro and the entire picture?
All right, do you have any thoughts on that at all, Ed?
Well, I think it's momentary. I mean, it's a momentary setback for them, but, you know, those people are in power and they're going to eventually prevail. It's just a matter of time.
And right now, of course, if the euro goes down, then relatively the dollar has been in uptrend for some time. And so I think if the euro goes down, why, the dollar will then rise in respect to the European currency. But I think all of these things are simply temporary measures. It's going to be very interesting to see what sort of retaliation the international financiers take against the French people to punish them for not going along as they're supposed to be obedient little slaves. So anything else, Ed?
Yeah, do you think that that's going to do some longer-term damage to the euro, or what? Just a short setback?
All right, what do you think? Is it going to, down the line, do you think it'll help or hinder the euro?
Well, again, it's a momentary setback. I don't think it's going to hinder it at all because, you know, we're headed for the European Union being dominant in the world and the dollar falling.
And I think, really, that they're going to find some way to get around it. They don't really care, Ed, what the people want. There is an elite, they run the world, and they're going to force upon the European people, the European Union, whether they want it or not, and the same thing here in the United States.
God help us.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Cal Grunwald, and we're simply talking about what's happening. Of course, Ed from Coeur d'Alene was concerned about what's going on as far as the European currency is concerned, and my remark was that it really doesn't matter what the people of Europe want. The elite want to unite Europe, and they want, of course, to unite the Western Hemisphere, and they want to unite Asia under the leadership of Communist China. And then, of course, when they have these three large blocs, they will merge them together into the one world government. That is the plan. You can see this being carried out today. And irrespective of what the American people want, irrespective of what the people of Europe want, why they're going to carry this out. Now, they, of course, have to do this under the color of law. They have to pretend that everything is done democratically, but in the truth, why they control both political parties in most of the countries of Europe. And it was only because there's a very independent, very small, conservative, patriotic group in France, led by Jean-Marie Le Pen, that they were able to defeat this. I mean, they are not a major political party. Certainly of the both major political parties in France supported the European Union. The socialists supported it. The so-called the conservative party supported it, but the people didn't want it. And this is the same thing as true in England. Both political parties, they are controlled by the same people. Both political parties in England are dedicated to the European Union. But there's a growing movement in Great Britain, which, of course, we have a chance to talk to and work with these people on many occasions. And there's a growing patriotic movement in England that does not want to give up their sovereignty. And it's amazing. They've had several recent major political victories there in Great Britain. And when the election comes up in Great Britain to go into the European Union and to forego their sovereignty and accept the European Constitution, well, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens, because I think there's a growing movement in Great Britain, and I hope that they will repudiate it as well. And then, of course, you can expect the retaliation in one form or another, whether it'll be an economic collapse, or whether it'll be a biological or chemical or nuclear war, I don't know. But the people are going to be punished because they have defied their masters. So, Cal, you know, as we look and see what's happening, certainly here in the United States, one of the major thrusts of the internationalists is CAFTA and the free trade zone of the American. CAFTA being the free trade zone of Central America. And people have to understand that this is coming for a vote. The whole idea, and when they tell you this only has to do with economics, it does not. It has to do with national sovereignty, destroying our borders, and destroying the culture and heritage of America. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Cal Grunwald, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And before we went to the break, Cal was talking about the fact that he has a mail out that he sends to people if they're interested in it. It's a 26-page analysis of the coin business, because that's what he's in, and how to avoid the scams of the coin business. And then some material on what happened back in 1933 when Franklin Delano Roosevelt closed the banks and called in the gold. And that's really rather frightening, because when he did that, well, he took away the economic freedom of the American people and really enslaved them to the will of the financiers who control our government. And if you don't believe that the financiers control our government, we'll be glad to send you a copy of a letter that I found when I went through Colonel House's papers back at the Sterling Library at Yale University, where it's a letter that Franklin Delano Roosevelt wrote to Colonel Edward Mandel House. I found it in Colonel House's papers. And there the President of the United States, FDR, says, as you and I both know, I find our government has been controlled by financial elements in certain centers in this country since the days of Andrew Jackson. And, of course, this is 1933. Andrew Jackson was, 1830s. So he's talking about 100 years. And the President of the United States is writing to Colonel House and saying, as you know, this country, our government has been controlled by financial elements. So this is, nothing is new under the sun. It's always the same way. And as long as men can create money out of nothing, by simply manufacturing it. That's what banks do. They create money out of nothing. Why, then, of course, they can buy and sell politicians. They can buy and sell newspapers. They usually buy newspapers. They don't sell them. They can buy up the media. They can certainly buy up the educational system. And ultimately, they can control the nation, which is why our founding fathers insisted on a gold and silver-backed currency so that you would never have anybody wealthy enough to purchase the nation, the government, and then to control the people. Well, unfortunately, as we said earlier, the one thing we learned from history is that we seldom learn anything from history. So it's about time the American people understood how the game is played and began making preparations. You're not going to change this, but you want to make preparations to protect yourself and your family. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. That's 464-8295. Well, Cal, one of the biggest things right now is the real estate bubble. In fact, this last week, we got two or three calls for my son, who lives with us, from these people. They sound like they are coming from New Delhi, India. They all have the Indian accent, saying that they want to help my son refinance his home mortgage. Well, he doesn't have a home mortgage. He lives with us. But they're saying, well, we want him so he doesn't lose his hard-earned money. We want him to refinance his home mortgage. And everything, really, the entire economy seems to be being fueled by people refinancing their home loans you can get these special home loans at fairly low interest rates, some of them even 1%, for the time being, that is. And more people, of course, are taking out these loans, which is flooding the economy with liquidity based upon absolutely nothing other than this inflationary spiral we're in as far as housing, or the so-called housing bubble. Are you concerned about that, Cal?
Well, very much so. The kind of the major thing that's keeping the economy afloat now is refinancing, your homes or your properties, and that's all an illusion, like you said. It's based on nothing. It's air building on air, and that's the bubble is going to burst. It's not like we're manufacturing. Look what happened to General Motors and Ford. Reduced the junk status. Their stocks. That's what's really happening. That's what's really happening in everybody's face. But of course, that gets put aside and everybody is in la-la land thinking that, things are turning around now, and it's not all an illusion. So people have to take a hard look at reality and their own situations and plan for the future, because if you don't plan for the future, no one's going to. Uncle is certainly not going to plan for your future in a good way.
Well, one of my concerns, as we look and see what's happening, Cal, is my concern for the people who are depending upon their pensions from General Motors and from Ford Motor Company. They've been guaranteed this by their unions and by the contracts they have with General Motors, but those guarantees are about as valuable as the guarantees that United Airlines gave to their unions and their employees. And now United Airlines declaring bankruptcy, turned over their pension obligation to the Pension Credit Guarantee Corporation, I guess that's the title of it, or Pension Guarantee Credit Corporation. And what's happening is that the people can expect to get about 50 cents on the dollar of the pensions have been promised to them, but as more and more American companies go bankrupt, why, of course, the Pension Guarantee Corporation is not going to have adequate funding, and it may very well be that the people will get 40, 30, 20, 10% of the pensions they've been guaranteed. And you can just see what GM is doing today. It's positioning its factories in communist China. Now, why is General Motors building massive plants in communist China? They're certainly not going to be able to sell their cars to the Chinese people. So why are they doing that? Do they really think that they're going to be able to mass-produce cars for the Chinese people, or are they planning on transferring their manufacturing centers to communist China, closing down all the plants here in the United States, coming up with some sort of a gimmick to get rid of their financial arm, which is making money, declare bankruptcy on the rest of this, and simply dump their pension obligation and start in all over again? Have you thought about that as a possibility, Cal?
Well, again, you hit the nail on the head, because that's their plan. The big people always escape with the bag full of money, leaving the little people with the bag empty. And that's exactly what's happening. So I tell people over and over, it's time that you take control of your own your own destiny, financial destiny. If you got, you know, if you've got a 401k, you know, borrow against it. You know, I've got a friend that does that. He said he doesn't build up anything, and if he just never gets some, he borrows half, and then he does what he wants with that money.
Well, I hope he's investing it rather than simply, because, you know, we're going to have to look after our own pensions. We're going to have to look after ourselves in the old age, because Social Security is just not going to be there.
No.
Medicare is just not going to be there. But so many of these corporate pension funds that everybody's counting on are not going to be there. That's the great tragedy. In fact, in Rhodesia today, you can have a government pension, you know, and you had a good government pension when it was issued. And today, with the currency, 25, this is the black market currency, of course, at 25,000 Rhodesian dollars to one American dollar. I mean, how much food do you think we can buy with 20,000 Rhodesian dollars, which is what you might get for a year in a pension fund? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, and that's coming here too. Only the people who are wise to see these things are going to be able to avoid it. And one thing I've noticed in the last several months, you know, as I've been on your show and people call in, I always ask them the question, have you had an interest in gold for a while or is it just recent? And just about everybody says it's just recent because of what they see around them, what they hear. They're finally going to do something about it, but they don't know what to do. And a lot of people are really scared or concerned because they know that the coin industry, they've never done anything like gold and silver. It's totally foreign to them. They don't know how to, you know, what's good and what's bad. But they've heard enough horror stories from the people who've gotten into gold and silver to scare them away. And that's, you know, people have told me that's what's so good about my paper, because it's like a consumer report to the corn and coin industry. And it, you know, it'll tell you what's good and bad and what to watch out for, what these coin companies are going to do to you or try to. It pretty much shows you the pitfalls and kind of leads you down the right path. So,
well, of course, one of the big problems is people getting what are referred to as a collector's coins, you know, and basically they'll try to sell you these, saying, well, you know, if the government comes in, they're not going to confiscate collector's coins, so you want to get collector's coins, but the margin on these sometimes will be 20 or 30% markup on them. And unless the average individual knows the value of these collector's coins, they're going to get taken. I don't think the average individual has studied the collector's coins, these very old or very unique or very rare coins. And isn't that sort of a trap that people get into, Cal?
Well, yeah, there's two ends of the trap. The one is the high mint state coins that you're talking about, collector coins, and the markup is not 20 to 30%. More like 70 to 100%, and you know, there are these MS mint stage 64, 65, you know, $20 Liberties or St. Gaudens. That's what these companies do. They tout them as tremendous investment, you know, tools, investment potential, profit potential. They talk that way because everybody, you know, wants to make money and get rich, of course. So they just switch the vernacular to make it sound so good that you're going to pay 7, 8, 10 times what the coin's actually worth. And that's a big ripoff. On the other end of the scale, you've got the foreign gold coins like the British sovereigns or French francs or Swiss francs or Helvetias that these coin companies claim, you know, that because they're minted prior to 1933, which only applies to American gold, that they're non-confiscatable. And so they will mark those up when those coins are actually just bullion and they're confiscatable. They will mark them up anywhere from 30 to 70%. And then they sell those to the unsuspecting public. So there's a lot of traps out there, and most people do get taken, and that's why a lot of people are very, very reserved and scared. They don't even want to go there as far as gold and silver because of all the scams out there. So that's why my paper, people have told me, is so informative. It was meant to be an educational paper. People have told me it's just written for anybody on the street can understand it, because I put it in language that is very, very easy to understand. I used to be a teacher, and my goal has always been to educate. You can't educate people if you're using all these big words and terminology that nobody understands. So to make it, you know, very, very, very easy for the layman to understand. So I'd like you to, you know, call, you know, and ask for my paper and the other literature that I have. My number is 414-234-8267. That's 414-234-8267. And I also spend a lot of time talking to people, just answering just general questions. People have a lot of misconceptions, a lot of erroneous ideas about not only money, finance, about the banking system, about gold, silver, history, like you said, Dr. Stan. People don't read history, they don't understand. You know, and like Thomas Jefferson said years ago, if you can control the currency of a nation, you can control, if you control the currency of a nation, you can control its people. And that's the easiest way to do it. You know, you don't have to hold a gun to anybody's head, just take the value of the currency away, or tell them what's money, and then, pull the rug out and from underneath them at the end and say, no, that's not really money. Gold and silver are. We have it all and you don't.
And I think it's important that people diversify. I mean, certainly there can be excellent investments in gold and silver, but you have to be in multiple things to protect yourself. And if you're not, you could be totally impoverished. You'd never want to put all your eggs in one basket, especially in uncertain times like this. But one of the smartest people I know is a man named Richard Mayberry. And Richard Mayberry says that, when you have a stable currency, as we did at least in the 1980s, after the central bank did exactly what it should have done, it raised the interest rates up to 20% and simply stopped issuing money, got the currency back to a sound base, and then began the greatest bull market of probably our lifetime, the greatest bull market in all recorded history. But we had a fairly stable currency. And that is the time to be invested. But when you have an unstable currency, as we do today, where you have irresponsible government, and when the Federal Reserve Board is doing everything wrong, and when you have a bubble in the stock market, when you have a bubble in housing, why, this is the time you want to think about being in material things. Certainly you may want to be some investments in stocks, energy stocks, oil stocks, defense stocks, things like that. But you also need something that is tangible that you can buy and sell with, a currency insurance. And, you have to be protective of yourself because nobody else is going to be looking for you. Our consultant had just noted that if we do have a massive contraction as far as our pension funds is concerned, this will be very, very deflationary. And at that point, we're going to be in a situation where people are just going to be struggling to be able to buy the necessities. And certainly if you have, these numismatic coins, nobody's going to be there to buy them. They're not going to pay inflated prices. They'll certainly accept gold, the value of gold. Even the value of gold may go down, but it will maintain value because everything else will be following. And, of course, the one value, one important thing is about gold and silver. It has always had value for 5,000 years. And no matter what our central banks do, they're not going to be able to change that.
Well, and one of the things, too, that I recommend very, very strongly is silver. The dimes, quarters, and half dollars were legal tender, up until 1965. They were 90% silver. Now, these are the barter coins when our currency collapses. So you don't need all that much money to get into silver, and that's what I recommend. If people have a great deal of wealth, once you get I recommend a bag of silver, and that's 55 pounds of dimes, quarters, and halves. I recommend that per household. But once you get that in place, then if you want to preserve the bulk of your wealth, or whatever you don't want to lose, you should put it into gold, and then have it with you. The whole thing is you have to be in control, personally, of your own wealth. Now, I advocate buying a year or two worth of food, have that set aside, your medical things, and, all the other things, and that it's not your panicking or preparing for, a disaster tomorrow, but just in a very logical, sensible way, set these things aside, and then take a look at your wealth, and ask yourself, do I really have wealth in the bank? Do I have it in the stock market? Do I have it in the bonds? Do I have it in the money market? Is that real wealth or is that an illusion of wealth? Or does that represent wealth? So you have to convert whatever you don't want to lose into real wealth, which is gold and silver, or something tangible, just like you said, Dr. It's a very, very sensible, common sense approach, to being in control of your own destiny, so to speak.
Well, somebody has just called in that wanted to know what gold coins you recommend. What are the best things to have?
Well, I recommend a combination of bullion coins, like American Eagles, Maple Leafs, Krugerrands, you know, in the 1/10 ounce. I don't like the bigger ones because they're not usable. I recommend the, you know, the junk silver, some $10 and $20 Liberties in the low grades, you know, simply because they may not only maintain their value, but if you ever get in the situation where you have to redeem some, you can come out very well on it. I don't advocate selling your gold, but that's kind of the combination of what I recommend. But I'm totally against these high mint state coins and, you know, foreign gold coins that are misrepresented.
All right, fine. Of course, there's always the people who will try to, of course, to get you to buy the more expensive ones. Well, anyway, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Cal. We'll wrap up the program. Remember, of course, we'll be back in the next hour. And well, I don't know whether we're going to have somebody calling in or we have a guest scheduled, but I'm not sure he's going to show up. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Otherwise, it'll be open lines, and well, you'll be doing most of the talking, I hope. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess, this evening at Cal Grunwald. Cal, we've got about 3 minutes to wrap up the program. So what thoughts would you like to leave with our listeners?
Well, again, I would like to go back to what I said before about, I've talked to a number of people in the industry, and they're telling me the gold production worldwide this year is less than it was in 1931. And they anticipate that gold will be at about $500 an ounce by the end of the year. Now, I don't like, you know, making projections because you just end up to be a fool. But these are the people who are in the industry. They can see what's happening. And I can tell you, you know, just by being there, that availability is really a problem now. Getting gold and silver. And even though gold has gone down in value as far as the spot, the coins have maintained their value and gone up simply because of demand. And so, again, the bankers, they want to keep the price down because they, you know, it's done through psychology. They want to make it appear as though gold isn't gaining in value, so why even look at it? But if you're looking for real financial security, you have to have some gold and silver to fall back on. And, you know, on that day when our currency is gone and collapsed and worthless, as every paper currency ever printed has failed, our dollar is not exempt from that law of nature, so to speak. So that's why I would highly encourage people in a very, very sensible way to take a look at your finances and where your money is and how much control do you have of it right now. And if the banks were to, you know, shut their doors tomorrow or the next day, in what kind of a position would you be?
Well, I think it's so interesting. You know, Aristotle and Plato witnessed similar things happening in ancient Greece. And Aristotle wrote, and the quotation can be found in Bartlett's famous quotations, and he said this. He said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money. In other words, fiat money is money with nothing behind it. It's simply an illusionary sort of money. And he said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. There's absolutely nothing wrong with fiat money as long as you have perfect authority and godlike wisdom in kings. Who among you in the audience thinks we have godlike wisdom in the White House today or at any time in recent years? And I would like to suggest that when you do not have godlike wisdom and perfect authority, why our currency, as with all other fiat currencies, can get into some very, very serious problems. I don't know if it'll be with a bang or a whimper or sooner or later, but it's going to come, as Paul Volcker said. Good night. Thanks so much. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I do hope that you enjoyed our interview with Cal. We get Cal on once a month, and that Cal does support Radio Liberty, but we think he does a real good job, and that these issues we like to talk about in hope that our listeners will make their preparations and remember one thing, diversify. Be in a number of things so that whatever happens, why you'll maintain some value for yourself, because I believe we're moving into very difficult times, and I do hope and pray that I'm wrong, but I've been at this for 43 years now. And the longer I watch and see what's happening, the more convinced I am that we're moving into some very difficult times, not only from an economic point of view, but from a spiritual point of view, because there's no incidents in all history where a nation has turned its back on God, where that God has not eventually abandoned that nation to its fate. And you go back and you read the Old Testament, and you find a time and time again why the children of Israel turned against God, and then God withdrew his blessing from the nation. And first the northern kingdoms were taken off into slavery by the Assyrians, and then, of course, the southern kingdom was taken off into ancient Babylon, where they remained for, 70 years or more. And these things happen over and over again. Why should America be any different? And remember those words of Thomas Jefferson, who said, "God who gave us life, gave us liberty." But can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to understand what's happening to America, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it and reread it and read it again. You can get it by itself or with a video, which tells exactly the same story, or the audio tape, which tells exactly the same story. But it goes into the spiritual aspect of what's going on. And if you want to understand the spiritual forces behind our economic system, and there are spiritual forces, well, you certainly will want to read the newsletters we wrote in August and September and October. They're posted on my website at radioliberty.com. And that's radioliberty.com. We have a great new DVD. It's called The Coming Crisis. It's a talk we gave 3 or 4 weeks ago in Southern California on the history of the monetary system and where we are headed. That's called The Coming Crisis, The Coming Financial Crisis. We have a great new DVD on fluoride. And you wonder why fluoride's important? Well, it's important because they're poisoning our children. Why do you think that one in every 5 or 6 American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality and or a behavioral abnormality? Why do you think that the children, American children, when they graduate from high school and compared in scholastic tests with children of other countries, can't compete in so many of the issues? And people say, well, it's because we got such a bad educational system, and that is part of it. But part of it is their minds. And, of course, fluoride is toxic to the mind. Mercury in our vaccines, and they're leaving it in the influenza vaccines, and I'm sure they're going to put it in the new vaccines. Why? Because it's toxic to the minds, because it produces Alzheimer's disease in the elderly. And if you doubt that, you need to go to Dr. Fudenberg's website. He's 80 years old. He's the dean of vaccinologists. And he points out, if you're foolish enough to believe what you're told and to take your regular influenza shot, if you are between 60 and 65 and you take 3 to 4 shots, influenza shots over a 5-year period, 10 years down the line, your incidence of Alzheimer's goes up 1,000%. Why would they do that? Because we have too many older people that are draining our society. Nobody would be that evil. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are evil people in the world today. And, you know, they're giving it to our 6-month-old children with a toxic dose. We're giving the same amount of mercury to a 6-month-old that we're giving to an elderly individual. Why would you do something like that? 80 times the maximum allowable amount. Why would you do something like that? We have a wonderful book. It's called Evidence of Harm. It's the story of the thimerosal, the mercury, and the vaccines. As evidence of harm, you need to get our new 4-tape sets on mercury and the new 4-tape set on the mercury update and the videos and the other things we carry. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. Remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you are listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But sort of hold your calls, because right now we have with us John Spring on the line. And John was kind enough to come on in very, very short notice. Our regularly scheduled guest did not bother to call in, as he promised. So we have John, and of course we're going to be talking about what's happening in the Middle East. We're going to be talking about what's happening as far as China is concerned, or really sort of whatever John would like to talk about. John Spring is a geographer, and he's, of course, worked in geography. He's taught at the university level in geography. He is has his own radio show in Southern California, and he's been kind enough to have me as his guest down there. He's actually got a pretty good station down there in San Diego. He does every Sunday afternoon. What is it, 2 o'clock, John?
2 p.m. Pacific time on KCEOradio.com or locally in the San Diego area at AM 1000.
All right, fine. So that is great. And then, of course, we'll tell people how they can get the Internet. Is that broadcasting on Internet streaming as well?
Yes. That would be www.kceoradio.com.
Okay, that's great. And, of course, the Internet is a wonderful way to get programs. And it's, for the broadcaster's point of view, it's certainly the most cost-effective means of getting the information out. So if you don't have a computer, you need to get one. And, of course, you need to know which programs you can listen to, where you're going to get reliable information. Well, John, what would you like to talk about this evening?
Well, there are an array of topics that come to mind of... we have discussed, of course, the Middle East, in particular Afghanistan and Iraq, and the possibility that in the very near future the United States may be moving into Iran and Syria. But this troubles me considerably, because we are already spread too thin, militarily speaking, throughout the world, and we're not doing too much about defending the folks on the home front.
Well, of course, that, of course, is the very real problem. Our military supposedly was to defend America. But what the American people don't really understand is that the major thrust of American foreign policy has nothing to do with defending America. If it was, we would have closed our borders long ago instead of allowing 20 million illegal aliens to flood into this country. The major purpose of our foreign policy is to open up our borders, to change our culture, to convert to a multicultural society and a multi-language society, and multilingual society. And this is all part of this idea of merging into the one world government and the merging of the Western Hemisphere. And then, of course, with the other two major blocs, the European bloc and the Asian bloc, and maybe there'll even be an African bloc, who knows. But the people who control the world are dedicated not to maintaining our sovereignty, but the New World Order and the New World Religion. So once you understand that, then our immigration policies make sense. You understand why the president would refer to the Minutemen, the dedicated American patriots down on the border defending our country. He would refer to them as vigilantes. Why? Why, of course, vigilantes are bad people who don't go along with the agenda. And the agenda, the New World Order, the New World Religion. Well, Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, John Spring. And so, John, certainly I agree with you totally. And, you know, I'm very concerned that we hear all this rumbling about, you know, how terrible Iran is and how Iran is threatening to attack America. And if you are out there in the listening audience, if you honestly believe that Iran is thinking of attacking America or sending missiles into space over our country, disrupt our electronics or any of these stories, these are all propaganda stories to get the American people prepared for war. This is how you, you know, it was during this, the First World War. Oh, the wicked German Kaiser. Why, the German soldiers are cutting off the breasts of Belgian women and the hands of little Belgian boys. And so we've got to send our boys overseas to save those Belgian women. Of course, none of it was true. It was all a lie.
That is so true.
And of course, the Second World War. Adolf Hitler is planning on taking New York as soon as he completes taking England. Actually, Adolf Hitler wanted to have a treaty with Great Britain. He wanted to be an ally with Great Britain. He'd never intended to take Great Britain. It was simply that, of course, the English actually lured him into the war. And you need to get my material on, of course, the origins of the Second World War. Most of it is written in Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, where he tells about the Round Table group that was at every turn encouraging Adolf Hitler. And in fact, it was Hess, Rudolf Hess, who flew from Great Britain to England to meet with the members of the Round Table group, hoping that they can negotiate a treaty before Hitler attacked Russia. Oh, of course, Hitler felt that that was the common enemy, and England and Germany should stand together against Russia. You are never taught these things. You need to get Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. Remember, he was Bill Clinton's mentor. He recommended Bill Clinton for his Rhodes Scholarship. He told Bill Clinton how the world is really run. But, of course, he didn't tell you or I. And the average American honestly believes what we've been taught by the media about Adolf Hitler. He was a wicked man. He was deeply involved in the occult. But then so are the leaders of our country. So, anyway, where do we go from here? What do you think? Are we going to be attacking Iran in the near future? Some people are saying the attack will come within June. Do you think that's possible?
Well, it is possible, Dr. Stan, although militarily speaking, June is not the best month to carry out any major operation in that region of the Middle East. It's not quite as crucial as it would have been, let's say, into Iraq or Saudi Arabia, but fairly close.
Well, if we're talking about an airstrike, though, rather than a military strike, I'm not talking about tanks, I'm talking about an airstrike.
Well, airstrikes can be carried out at any time of the year, of course, but airstrikes are going to cause some type of reaction on the part of the Tehran regime, and
hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is John Spring, and John is talking about the possibility of an airstrike. I raised the possibility of an airstrike in the month of June. At least there was a recent article written by Arne de Borgrave, former of the foreign correspondent, chief foreign correspondent for Newsweek magazine, formerly the editor of the Washington Times, longtime member of the Council on Foreign Relations, and one of my favorite people. I always like to read what he says because I think he has an inside track on what's going on in the world today. I don't think I would always agree with everything, but I think when he tells you what's being planned, he knows what's being planned. So anyway, he's talking about the possibility of an airstrike. I'm speaking now of Arne de Borgrave, a former chief correspondent for Newsweek magazine, former editor of the Washington Times, talking about an imminent strike on Iran to knock out their nuclear potential. Not necessarily to topple the government, but to knock out their nuclear potential. So pick up the story from there. Could we simply knock out their nuclear potential and leave the government in place?
Well, I wish it would be that easy, Dr. Stan. If it were that's feasible, I would probably concur with such a plan if it meant threatening Europe's security. But unfortunately, that does not seem to be likely, because within Iran you have a series of underground bunkers and tunnel complexes that may be to depths of approximately more than a mile, 2,000 meters, which is pretty deep under the ground. And not too many people are aware of this, but according to Yosef Badonsky, who I have felt has been a very reliable source on the Middle East.
He's probably getting his information from the Mossad. Go ahead.
It probably is a Mossad source, and of course, when you consider the geopolitical perspective of Israel, you have to have some reservations about such intelligence. But according to the Mossad, if you don't want to say Badonsky, it appears that Saddam Hussein, back in 1995, had a series of new tunnel complexes dug and excavated within Iraq. We don't know the exact depth, but the technology was developed so they could dig to a depth of approximately a mile. And the strange thing is, even though we've occupied Iraq for a considerable period of time now, or at least we've had troops over there, I don't think we have complete control of Iraq by any stretch of the imagination, but during this period of time since the invasion, we have not found any entrances to any of these bunker complexes beneath the ground. Now, if we cannot find and locate these on the ground, basically, and supposedly with the high-resolution remote sensing devices that we supposedly have, then I would say it's going to be rather difficult for us to uncover any of the nuclear sites, which would undoubtedly be deep underground and clandestine areas, based upon our long-term occupation, or relatively long-term occupation of Iraq at this stage. So I don't think any so-called surgical aerial strike is going to be very effective. History has shown us, at least in terms of modern warfare, that aerial strikes are seldom effective, just as offshore naval shelling with naval artillery of coastal targets ever are that effective. It generally requires the Marine or the ground soldier to actually go on to the beaches and occupy and pacify the area so that you actually have control of an area and you no longer have a threat against you. Now, geographically speaking, through the Pacific area during the Second World War, of course, we had very poor maps and charts of that area during that period of time, but there were many cases in which we thought we had supposedly shelled and bombed targets so that the enemy would be incapable of fighting back, only to find out that after our troops had landed, there was a barrage of defensive artillery which caused thousands of, upon thousands of casualties and deaths on the part of Allied soldiers. So what I'm getting at, Dr. Stan, in answering your question, I don't think an aerial strike to attempt to destroy the nuclear facilities within Iran will be effective.
All right, fine. We may very well have to go to our other caller. He apparently is waiting at a telephone booth. And anyway, if he's so I'm gonna we'll just sort of hold it at that, and maybe we can pick this up again some evening. I'm gonna ask my producer if they'll give this telephone number to our other producer, and we're going to do that. But anyway, I agree with you. But my concern is that we have leaders that may not have thought this thing all the way through. And for whatever reason, they're certainly threatening Iran with a surgical airstrike. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I want to thank you so much for being with us, John. And if this other call doesn't work out, we'll be back in touch with you shortly, okay?
Very, very fine. And the other question we have to consider is, how does Taiwan fit into this whole picture?
All right, fine. Well, I'm very much afraid if we get tied up with Iran and Syria, why, of course, China will move on Taiwan. And, of course, the other thing is that China has a very, very close relationship with Iran, and so does the Soviet Union. Would we dare to strike Iran without their support? Well, we're going to just let this go and be back and talk to you just a little bit later.
Very fine.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, fine. Well, we have this supposedly this caller who's going to be on the line here in just a couple of minutes and see if we can get hooked up with him. We're in the process of trying to call him right now. But he was supposed to have called in on the hour, and when he didn't get here, our producer got John Spring on the line, so we would have a program for you. I am very, very concerned that our leaders are intent upon taking out Iran and Syria. Why do I believe that? Because that has been the long-range plan. It was really laid out back in 1991 by Paul Wolfowitz in a defense directive that he put out under the Bush administration, talking about the necessity of taking all of the Middle East. And, of course, after, of course, the Bush administration left office, Paul Wolfowitz was certainly out of a position of power until the year 2001, when he returned to the Defense Department as the Deputy Secretary of Defense under Donald Rumsfeld. And by that time, there was a group known as the Project for the New American Century. And the Project for the New American Century was organized in 1997 to really carry out Paul Wolfowitz's objectives, the objectives he laid out in his 1991 concept. And you can go to their website at Project for the New American Century. It's newamericancentury.org. That's www.newamericancentury.org. And you will find that they hit 1997, they organized. This was the first meeting. There were 25 people there. There were people there to convince the Catholics that we should go along with the program, people like William Bennett. People like Gary Bauer were there to lead the conservatives, like the Pied Piper. And then, of course, there was Donald Rumsfeld, and there was Dick Cheney and Paul Wolfowitz and Liddy and Elliot Abrams. And there were 25 people in all. And those people took over our government when George Bush became the president. And for all intents and purposes, our government is controlled by the neoconservative movement, which began really back in 1991 with Paul Wolfowitz, was established as an organization with a website, and you can go there, newamericancentury.org, read their 1998 letter to the President of the United States, where, of course, they call for war with Iraq. 1998, they were calling for a war with Iraq. Read the letter they wrote in 2000, calling for a war with Iraq. But how are you possibly going to get a war going, after all? Certainly in 2001, January and February, Paul O'Neill, who was the Secretary of the Treasury, was going to meetings with Rumsfeld and Cheney and Wolfowitz at the National Security Council, and they were talking about how we were going to get into a war with Iraq, how we were going to get the American people to go with a preemptive strike on Iraq at that time. And of course, Paul O'Neill, and you'll read this story in his book, The Price of Loyalty, is wondering, why are we talking about going to war with Iraq? Here's, you know, this is 7-8 months before the 9/11 attack, and Paul Wolfowitz says, upon me, Paul O'Neill writes in his book, why were they planning on going to war with Iraq? They already had laid out plans how to divide up the oil in Iraq. Well, of course, after September 11th, it was very obvious. Now we had an excuse to go to war. And really, what a frightening thing it is to understand that this was all planned ahead of time. Please don't take my word for it. Go to their website, that's newamericancentury.org, read their material, and then, of course, get Paul O'Neill's book, The Price of Loyalty. Read what he has to say, and I believe that's page 96, but don't hold me to that. You'll find the full quotation in my newsletters where we quote Paul O'Neill. The war we're involved in now was planned long before the September 11th attack. It had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. That was simply the lie that they had to tell the American people to go along with it. Well, right now we've got Saul on the line, so let's go ahead. Saul, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, fine. We'll be back in just a moment with a caller who's written a book about when the Illuminati is going to collapse the stock market. He claims he has inside information. It'll be interesting to hear what he has to offer. So we'll be back in just a moment here, talking about, of course, once again, this group that really does rule the world. And there are many groups. There's not simply one group, but there is a centralized, coordinating, satanic influence behind everything that's going on today. So it'll be very interesting to see how this story unfolds. We'll be back in just a moment with this young man who's written a book on the coming collapse of the stock market. Let's hear what he has to say. All right, Saul. Well, when you didn't call in, why, we got somebody else on the line. But go ahead. Why don't you introduce yourself to our audience and tell us about your background and why you feel that you're able to anticipate when the Illuminati is going to collapse the stock market.
Well, my background involves market analysis as related to various financial indexes, such as the Dow Jones Industrial Average. there's a principle that can be applied to studying graphic illustrations of mass human psychology, which essentially is the price movement in any fair market, such as the DJIA.
Saul, we don't have a very good connection. Are you on a cell phone or what?
No, I'm not. I'll try to speak a little louder.
All right.
So essentially, for the last 15 years, I have been refining and studying an approach that's based on a natural a phenomenon that's found in nature. It's a naturally occurring principle that is able to identify certain patterns based on fractal geometry and chaos theory that will actually pinpoint where a particular event is located in its overall pattern.
Now, you're talking about, of course, the movements of the market.
Yes, it can also be applied to various other natural occurring phenomena, like a pulse beat on a oscilloscope.
All right, well, then, so what? How can this be applied then, and what are your impressions of what's happening as far as the market is concerned?
Well, it can be applied in the following way, because there is a certain pattern that's based on fractals, which are self-similar type of geometric configurations. Therefore, if you can identify where you're at in that particular pattern or in that timeline, you can then project it out into the future, into almost any time frame that you want to, and see which direction it's going to go, how fast it's going to go, and what its overall destiny is going to be.
All right, is this like the Elliott wave pattern then that we read so much about?
Yes, it is.
All right, fine.
Very much like that.
All right, fine. So then, of course, looking at that, and of course, the Elliott wave theory for our listeners simply is charting the way the market is going, taking into account of the mass psychology, which usually is always on the wrong side. And, of course, usually when everything goes up, the law of gravity comes and it goes back down again. So what do you see unfolding then at the present time?
Well, it is a natural progression. It's a growth curve, which is very well known to science. Presently, what I see is that we reach the top in the economy or the stock market, however it is you want to look at it. The stock market is a major economic indicator. That top was reached in the Dow Jones in January of 2000. That's a historical top. We are not likely to see anything higher than that. And then the S&P 500, which is also a major indicator, topped just a couple of months later in March of 2000. Since then, we had a decline all the way down to 2003. And since 2003, March 23rd, 2003, incidentally, 23 is a very powerful occult number in terms of occult numerology. There has been a slow, gradual advance in the market, which I predict is going to top out probably in October of this year. We should see a lower high compared to what we saw in the year 2000, which was at about 11,400. We should see something around 11,000 to 11,005, possibly.
Hold that thought right there. So, basically, you are anticipating then that the market is going to go up from here to a high, and then, of course, but when will we know when the high is reached?
Well, I mean, the principle that I'm applying pretty much determines that. It will reach its terminus at a point at which there is no further advance possible. In other words, the pattern will have completed itself in that time frame.
Now, are you attributing this, of course, to mass psychology? Are you attributing this to manipulation? What is it that will determine the high point of the market?
Well, it's really a very hard thing to understand. It's kind of like asking what came first, the chicken or the egg. Is this principle predicting history, or is history actually forming and configuring the basic principle, which is already evident in all natural systems? Actually, they both interrelate. And what you find is that there could be any number of social or political events that will tend to coincide with the completion of the pattern. So even though they haven't happened yet, the pattern indicates that the chaos will reach a point at that time, and there will be something very cataclysmic that will cause it to gradually start to decline, then precipitously decline throughout 2006, 2007, and 2008.
Well, certainly we saw what happened when we had the attack on 911. I mean, there was a massive fall in the stock market there, at least a temporary fall, you know, and certainly so many of the industries, the airline industry was badly hurt. People didn't want to be flying. You could go to Las Vegas, which right now is booming, but right after 911, certainly there was just almost nobody there. So certainly this was a manifestation of that psychology of fear. So you're suggesting that there might be associated with the topping of the market some cataclysmic event?
Yes. The principle itself doesn't really tell you what event will cause it. It just simply says that if you look at a growth curve, you know, a natural birth maturation and decline curve, population growth curve, for example, we're at the peak of that, actually starting to descend down. So as to what causes that, well, it could be anything, a shortage of food. There could be something that came into the system to disrupt it. But the one thing that is absolutely certain is that it will most definitely begin to deteriorate at some point. It doesn't continue to grow indefinitely. And, you know, it's like asking our in this situation for our economy to continue to, well, if you want to use the word prosper, it's a false prosperity, of course, for the next 5 or 10 years. That's highly unlikely. It simply does not have any more growth potential to it. And since the stock indexes are a barometer for the economy of not only the United States, but also essentially the world economy, since all the economies are interdependent, therefore you have a global collapse, which should coincide with the U.S. stock market.
All right, fine. So do you think then that all of the markets in the world are going to begin to decline?
I believe so. I mean, if you look at 1929 crash, for example, you'll find there were global repercussions even back then when there wasn't nearly as much global interdependence as there is now.
You know, one of the interesting comparisons between what happened in 1929 and what's happening today is that people in 1929 had all the cars they needed or could afford. They had all the refrigerators. They had all the various things that they needed. And so we'd really more or less capped out. We had all the industries ready to produce. And, of course, there was a shortage of buyers. Now, right now, the United States is the major buyer in the world. We are keeping the economies of China and Africa and South and Central America. We are the major consumer of all of the goods in the world. We're using up something like 80% of the money of the world is funneling through the United States at the present time, and we're just buying everything in sight. But how long can our consumers continue borrowing? And, of course, what impact is the gradual raising of the interest rates going to have on that? I think that the Fed is intentionally raising the interest rates to try to stop this spending spree we're on. What do you think about that?
Well, there's no question about that. I mean, the event itself is being orchestrated at the very highest levels. So you have in 1929 Churchill and FDR, for example, who pretty much decided, maybe orders came down from above, but the idea was to bring us into World War II, and that's what the crash of 1929 accomplished, or World War I, I mean. Anyway, the event itself is already pre-planned, and it's just following a prescribed pattern.
And of course, the FDR and Winston Churchill both played a very important part in World War I. Winston Churchill was the High Lord of the Admiralty. FDR was the Secretary of the Navy. And they worked together, they conspired together to plunge America into World War I, and then a generation later into World War II. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. All right, this is Dr. Stan. We have Saul calling us, and of course, Saul has written a book. What's the title of the book or pamphlet that you've written?
Well, it's a booklet which describes the phenomenon as well as several other books that I've written a preview. It's called When Will the Illuminati Crash the Stock Market?
Now, are you suggesting then that there is an organization working behind the scenes that really is more or less directing the course of world events?
Well, absolutely. I mean, globalism is living proof of it.
All right. Do you see any spiritual component to this Illuminati that you speak of?
Evidently, their symbolism indicates that they are deeply into the occult. All the numerology that was noted through 911 and that I noted throughout the booklet in terms of the crash date itself, for example, June the 6th, 2006, is the only time in history that you'll ever have the combination of 666. And that happens to coincide very closely with the accelerated phase of what I'm anticipating will constitute the crash.
Now, of course, so there is a tremendous emphasis on numerology and on occult symbology. That's why they put the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. And, of course, the pyramid cap by the Alising Eye is the emblem of the ancient secret societies. And it's been around for 5,000 years. And if you doubt that, you need to go see the movie The Man Who Would Be King with Sean Connery. It's a great movie. But, of course, it's the story of a couple of British soldiers who went from India up into Afghanistan, and they wanted to establish a kingdom. And Sean Connery has a little medal, and it's this pyramid cap on the All-Seeing Eye. And when the natives there in Afghanistan see that, they say, Sander, the son of Alexander, this must be the man we were always promised. And the inference was that Alexander the Great had used that emblem of the triangle containing the glorified eye, and I would like to suggest that's probably true.
Well, it has, you know, it's the Eye of Osiris, of course. It has greater significance in terms of defining the hierarchy, which constitutes what we might think of the higher Masonic degrees, which could be the Illuminati and even perhaps beyond that. The pyramid structure itself is very small at the top and very broad at the base, which indicates, I believe, the flow of information or just general security clearance. So the number of individuals who are actually controlling world events are, you know, very small. There's a council of 300, there's a council of 33, and there's probably a council of three. It's supposed to be three Rothschilds. Individuals who are, you know, in the public eye on the evening news who seem to be very highly placed politically may appear somewhere in the middle of that pyramid.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Chris, our guest, is talking this evening about his concept of what's going on. He thinks that there is a chain of power, and that the Rothschilds at the top, I really don't think so. I think they've been put there as a diversion, but we won't discuss that because we do not know who the ultimate people are at the top of what's going on today. I think that a couple of them, of course, are very, very key figures that we might be able to name associated with a master plan for the world called the Earth Charter. And I think if we were to see who actually wrote the Earth Charter, we might understand who really is pulling the strings. But be that as it may, we will not know, at least we may never know during a lifetime, who heads the occult hierarchy that works behind the scenes, manipulating world economies, creating wars and depressions, and of course, I fear that in the near future, major epidemics, genetically engineered epidemics, with diseases that are race-specific. And if you doubt that they're planning that, you need to go to the website, newamericancentury.org, newamericancentury.org. Read their treatise on rebuilding America's defenses, and you'll see how excited they are at the idea of biological warfare and the ability to target specific races. The ability to target specific races. Who would want to do something that gross, that cruel, that inhumane? Well, the people from the Project for the New American Century, the people who control our government today. Go to their website, read their information, see who the members are, and then ask yourself if this is really true. Why aren't we hearing about this on the evening news? And the reason you're not hearing about it is you're never going to hear the truth on the evening news. Go ahead, pick up your story, Saul. And anyway, you feel that the market is going to top out here in October of this year?
It should be this fall, according to what I can anticipate in terms of quarters. I have known that that the market was going to be poised for a decline for well over 3 years now. And as I got closer to it, I decided to make some public statements concerning it, just as a warning. The important point to keep in mind about this, this pattern itself is that it has been able to predict every war, every depression, every major economic event for the last 200 years. So it's been extremely accurate. In 1998, for example, I was the only person to predict the single largest weekly point drop in the 200-year history of the Dow Jones Industrial Average a week before it happened. And I actually published that forecast in a major media.
Well, where can we find that so we can check it out and make sure
did
it's true?
Did you receive my documentation I sent you?
Well, I saw got the pamphlet you sent me.
I sent you some documentation last week.
Oh, no, we're so far behind in the material we have, but we'll look forward to it. It's probably sitting in the pile on my desk.
Okay. Yeah, I did send you that very documentation to show you that this is nothing new for me. I've done this many times in the past.
Well, and then do you play the market and make a lot of money out of these predictions? Or?
Well, I'm mostly a theoretician.
I see you're more theoretician than the gambler there.
And a writer, so that's been where most of my time has been put. But I have kept up the study for many years, and on a daily basis, weekly basis, am extremely accurate on not only the direction, but also the speed and the duration. So these patterns, they play themselves out on almost all time frames. Weekly, monthly, hourly.
So basically then it's very, very similar to the Elliott wave theory, and you're suggesting that this wave suggests that October may be the maximum, that the market may even go up higher and then begin to fall after that?
Yes, it looks like we shouldn't really see anything significant for about a year. I think right around this time in 2006, we should start seeing the market, it should be significantly off its high in 2005. Ultimately, I'm looking for a bottom, and most people will have a hard time grasping this, but in 2008 or thereabouts, if they can stall it for a year or two, but it will ultimately happen, somewhere around 1,100 to 1,300.
Now, that's the high, but how far down is it going to go?
No, that's the bottom, 1,100.
Oh, 1,100, not 11,000, yeah. 1,100.
Right, so you're looking at more than a 90% drop in 3 years. That would take us back to 1970 levels, which essentially would bankrupt everyone who has any investment involving stocks.
Well, of course, we know that then in 1929 and then really collapsing pretty well in 1933. And if you were invested in the stock market in 1929, it took up till 1960 to get back to where you were, the same level of your stock investment.
Right, that's correct. It took 25, 30 years to recover. But the significant point is that 2000, I believe, was a historical high. We're not going to see it again. It's a very long-term high going back many hundreds of years, and you can even trace it back before the stock market began. So it's called a grand super cycle degree, which means that that's the ultimate. And from that point, the movement is straight down. In stages, I anticipate it won't happen precipitously like in 1929, but it will occur in stages over approximately a three-year period.
Well, now, what's going to happen to gold and silver under this circumstance? Are they going to drop in value as well?
Well, I also follow gold, silver not so closely. Gold looks like it's going to make an advance corresponding to the decline, as well as the oil complex. Crude oil and other gas and so forth, natural gas. So in fact, they're almost contra in movement. So naturally, you would find people trying to protect their losses by going to gold. But there's a better story with gold that is being also regulated very closely right now. So it's staying at a level where it's just not able to break through. But I believe that gold is looking like a very strong up market. Coinciding with the decline of the stock market.
Well, now, what about the energy market? We see that Warren Buffett has invested in $5 or $6 billion. That's B billion dollars, and certainly in an electric company. And he is very, very bullish on the energy market. Do you think that that oil or that the energy is going to be an important thing in the years that lie ahead? And what impact would it be if we go into an inflationary cycle? Why, I would think there would not be the demand for power and electricity.
Well, in terms of just the crude resource, oil itself, based upon the principle that we're discussing, it looks to me at this point as if there's going to be a great deal more upside potential to it. We could see, you know, much higher prices at the gas pumps, of course, but I think that's also, it's also going to be related to the overall chaos that will be created by disruption in the financial markets.
Now, what's going to happen then to China? What's going to happen to South and Central America, to their economy?
I actually don't get involved in that. I can only, you know, make general statements in terms that it will be a global impact, that you'll have all the world economies. Will the ultimate objective, of course, is to bring them all into the New World Order. And the ultimate objective of that is, I believe, the mark of the beast technology.
Well, I certainly agree with that, that appraisal completely. And certainly what you're suggesting is really very, very similar to what Bob Proctor is saying with the Elliott Wave Theory. Do you ever read his material?
Yes, I'm familiar with his material. The situation with the Elliott Wave Theory is that very few people understand it and can apply it in a practical sense. Most individuals who have attempted to anticipate market movements using the theory have made errors in just their understanding of the overall patterns, because there are various types of exceptions and various ways to look at it that, you know, someone less experienced would probably make a tactical error. So Mr. Proctor has made some predictions that have been very far off the mark, but he has also been accurate in some. And one I believe he's accurate about is the ultimate collapse of the economy, which is what I'm saying. But I think I'm being a little more quantitative about it than he is. He's just speaking in general terms that, yes, it will collapse.
Well, of course, he's looking at the Elliott waves. He's looking at the economic forces. And you're looking at this not only with that, but with the acknowledgement of the spiritual forces working behind the scenes. Would that perhaps be a difference between your approach and his?
Yes, absolutely, because I can also relate Scripture, Book of Revelation, what impact the collapse of the economy will have in terms of the New World Order, as far as the political restructuring, the economic restructuring, and the religious restructuring, the one world, the cashless economy, and the one world government. So all of these, in my view, it will come into play when you have a cataclysmic event of this magnitude. Because, you know, when the currency has been devaluated to that extent, where you've lost 90% of the value of the currency, there's really nothing else that can be done except to transfer over to electronic wire, a transfer system, which is, you know, completely computerized. And all that is a microchip implant, and it could just be in a plastic card to get people used to it. But that will most definitely follow. It's like a series of dominoes. When you say, what happens when you push this one domino? Well, obviously, when you collapse the market, you devaluate the currency, you have to go to electronic wire transfer, you have to have some sort of a computer chip in order to regulate debits and credits, and therefore you have market abuse technology, which is already here, obviously, but they haven't been able to implement it because they haven't been able to create a terrorist act, quote-unquote, of significant proportions to warrant it.
Well, I think that they're preparing the American people for this with this constant barrage of information on identity theft. And we see these television ads about identity theft, and we see the articles about identity theft, and their conditioning is to fear the identity theft, and it really is all part of the game that they play to prepare us, because the solution to identity theft, of course, is to secure your identity. And how can you do that? Why, with a chip. And
right,
once they can get us to take those chips, of course, and they can take us into the cashless society that is prophesied in the Book of Revelation.
Yeah, it's my belief that people are totally brainwashed. They're a captive audience sitting in front of their television screen. And, of course, the controllers, the world controllers, know that. And I believe that they are being electromagnetically hypnotized to absorb any propaganda whatsoever uncritically, without any ability to discern whether or not there's any truth or any value to what's being presented to them. I made a point in the book that of the chemtrail phenomenon, for example, that people, if anyone in your listening audience, if they're aware of the chemtrail phenomenon, you should try this experiment. Just point out to people who are standing on the street and notice their reaction. It's a total denial of even the existence or the possibility that we are being sprayed by the government. It's actually comical to watch, but I've documented it for so many years that that's about all you can do is laugh, because no one seems to be able to grasp the importance of the mind-controlling potential of particleized aluminum in their brain, breathing in chemtrails, as well as the bioengineered viruses and bacteria and so forth.
Would you like to, do you have any sort of address or telephone number would you like to get out as far as your pamphlet is concerned?
Well, that's not a real strong, real important issue.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
My contention is that most people are not at all interested in hearing about this sort of thing. I could be wrong with your listening audience, but in the past when I have gone public with this information, there's been zero response. My responsibility is simply to warn people and to tell them that, according to everything that I can see at this point right now, we're very close to a major economic decline. And whether anyone wants to take that serious or not, that's up to them. But they should keep in mind that I've been accurate so many times in the past that the probability of me being wrong is rather slim at this point.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, my producer wants to know your last name. You really don't want to put out the last name?
Well, I just, I feel like, my name on my books, my authorship name is Servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the identity that I wish to be known by.
All right, fine.
If anyone wants to contact me, they can contact me through you, and I can make arrangements through you to communicate with anybody who cares to.
All right, fine. So basically, you feel that we're heading for beginning contraction, but it will not be a sharp contraction. You're saying that the market may move up a little between now and October, but after October you feel that we're going to go into a contraction. Now, will the war have any impact on this? Do you think there'll be a cataclysmic event that will begin to precipitate this decline, such as, maybe a biological attack or a chemical attack or a terrorist attack or even a nuclear attack? Are you anticipating anything of that sort, or are these all in the matter of conjecture at the present time?
Sure, or a natural disaster. It could be any number of those things. I have no idea of which one it could be, except to look in the book of Revelation and see how the seals all work out and the trumpets and so forth and conjecture from that. But as far as I'm concerned, what causes it is not really, relevant to anticipating the actual event. My focus is simply saying that it will happen and something will precipitate it, and whatever that event may be, it could be World War III. It would probably take something of that magnitude, I think. But, there most definitely will be an event or a number of events or a sequence or a series of events that will cause it to happen. It won't just one day decide it's going to drop 5,000 points. It'll simply react to what's going on the world scene.
Well, certainly Richard Russell, who's been around for a long time, I would tend to agree with you. He talks about his view that one day, of course, the price of gold will cross the stock market. In other words, the stock market will be falling, and the price of gold will be going up. How far it's going to go, I don't know, but he feels that the stock market is certainly going to go down and go down dramatically, and he's been watching this thing for, ever since I can remember, pretty close to 50 years.
Yeah, an interesting parallel to sort of demonstrate that, to illustrate my point, is that when you compare the Dow Jones Industrial Average to the S&P 500 stock index, you'll notice that the Dow Jones Industrial Average has been held up above 10,000 or 10,005 since about 1998. Okay, now this is intentional. It is being artificially buoyed up to give a false sense of security, I believe, to the American people, since they monitor the economy in terms of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. The S&P 500 index, by comparison, is showing a much truer picture of actually what's going on, in that it has fallen off considerably and is having a very difficult time reaching its former highs.
Well, everything is really is perception. I know you're well aware of that. But for our listeners, you have to understand that they only have to manipulate 30 stocks to maintain the Dow Jones where it is. That's what people look at. And that is what they think reflects what's happening in the economy. But it's all a matter of perception. It's an illusion. It's a delusion. And they are manipulating the minds of the American people. And certainly we are governed, our minds are manipulated, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men that we have never heard of. We'll be back in just a moment with Saul to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is Saul, and we, of course, are going to have 3 minutes to wrap up the program. So what would you like to leave with our listeners this evening?
Well, it's just an appreciation for the timeline for where we're at historically in terms of the economy, politically. People need to be aware that they have a false sense of prosperity. They may be buying and selling right now, but the reversal will happen rather quickly, that they need to be getting their spiritual house in order and not be so concerned about their material welfare, because ultimately all that will be left behind, and all they will have to contend with is standing before the Lord Jesus Christ on Judgment Day. And so that's the only real issue that anyone needs to have to take seriously. It's an ultimatum. It will ultimately occur. And I think people need to be aware that it is very close to the time prophesied in Scripture where we are going to go into this world government that will require everyone to make a very vital decision. Will they take the mark of the beast, yes or no?
And, of course, it's that basically that old contention that you never saw a hearse on the way to the graveyard with a U-Haul trailer behind it. So certainly we're going to lose everything we have gained. In fact, that old adage of what did J. Paul Getty, how much did he leave when he died? And the answer is everything. Because, of course, he couldn't take it with him. So you're absolutely right. I think it's very interesting, and we're going to be interesting and waiting and see how things unfold according to your predictions.
Right. Don't expect anything to happen in 2005 significantly in terms of world events. It should be kind of tame, kind of quiet. And actually, the first two quarters of 2006, again, doesn't look like much is going on. Although, as we get into 2006, we should see the market falling off, even in the first quarter from its previous high. And the second quarter of 2006, what I can see right now, should be make it evident to everyone that all is not well with the economy, and the false prosperity can no longer be maintained.
Well, I hope you'll keep in touch with us and keep us appraised of your appraisal of it, will you?
I will do that, and I'll send that documentation back out to you again.
God bless you. Thanks so very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And, of course, our guest this evening has been Saul, and he's a very interesting individual. He's written a very interesting analysis of what's going on in the economic field from a purely spiritual point of view. And I think that we have to understand that behind everything going on today, there are powerful, invisible spiritual forces, because, ladies and gentlemen, there is an occult hierarchy that rules the world, and that's the subject of my next newsletter. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty and my ministry is listener-supported. I need to tell you that we are not tax-exempt. That way we can tell you exactly what we think without having the government come in and take away our tax exemption. Of course, they are not going to tolerate indefinitely our bringing the truth out. Information that people are not going to get elsewhere, and the documentation of the fact that there really is an elite group that rules the world and has for many, many centuries. And this elite group, of course, has a spiritual component to it, because that's the only way that that this could go on from generation to generation. There is a conspiracy against God. It's described many places in the Bible, Jeremiah 11:9 and Ezekiel 22:25 and the second Psalm. And, of course, there is a desire to create this one world government, and it is being prepared for the rule of the Antichrist. This has been the goal of the ancient mystery religions. It has been their goal down through the ages, and it's their goal today. You see their emblem on the back of the dollar bill. That emblem on the back of the dollar bill originally came from the back of the Great Seal of the United States. It was placed there in 1782, and it reflected the emblem of the ancient mystery religions, which were there, you know, at the time when our founding fathers landed here in America. It was brought over from England probably in a period about 1640, and then, of course, it was there at the time of when Alexander the Great was setting out to rule the world, about 300 years before the birth of Christ. So these things keep going on, that nothing really changes. If you'd like more information, certainly go to my website of RadioLiberty.com and pull down my newsletters. My latest newsletter is going to be talking about the occult hierarchy that rules the world. How can we document it? How do we know it exists? Well, because certain people are part of it, and they write books about it, and they talk about it. You're not going to hear about those books, but when you read my newsletter, why, you'll get information about the extraordinary people, about the extraordinary times. That's the title of a book written by a man named Wayne S. Peterson, who is part of this whole world occult movement. He was recruited into it by the most wealthy and powerful man in the United States, and his name is not Warren Buffett, and his name is not Bill Gates. It will tell you who is really running things in the United States. Fascinating book. We refer to it in our latest newsletter, and we'll be covering that newsletter in more detail in subsequent newsletters. If you'd like a copy of the May newsletter, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. It'll be off the press probably in 10 days or so. We hope that many of you will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. To understand what is really happening economically, I suggest some of the books we carry: The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, a rather small little book but packed with information, Professor Sutton's book on gold for investment, gold for survival, fiat money, inflation in France. And let me repeat those books: The Creature from Jekyll Island, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy, Gold for Investment, Gold for Survival. All those three last books were written by Professor Sutton. And then, of course, fiat money, inflation in France. It's called Phenomenon, the Monopoly Men. And then, of course, for a brief summary of really everything you need to know to understand what's going on today, let me suggest the talk we gave about 3 weeks ago. It's available on DVD. It's called The Coming Crisis, and we'll give you the history of the monetary system and bring in the occult forces, which Saul has been talking about. There really are occult forces in the world, and things are not happening by accident. They're happening by design. And behind that, of course, are the dark forces that rule the world. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like a free copy of that May newsletter that goes into the hierarchy, give us a call. If you get my articles on the monetary system, August, September, October of last year, at RadioLiberty.com. And, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.